You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
This guy is a modern day superhero, and you'll hear me say that in the interview. To avenge scammers that took advantage of his elderly grandmother, he now scams the scammers and has an enormous following because he does it live on Twitch and he shares it on YouTube. So let's hear how he does it. Here's Kit Boga. So I was about to say, you're like a superhero. Like, you basically take on an assumed identity, like a superhero would, and you save people and you fight criminals.
Yeah, I mean, that's very nice of you to say. When I started, I definitely didn't set out saying I want to be the next Batman or something. There was no intent behind it.
And yet you are kind of like Batman.
Yeah, I scam the scammers, yeah.
Yeah, so like, let's just start it off. You saw that your elderly grandma, who had dementia, I'm sorry to hear that. It's a horrible thing to go through, both as a person and a relative and everything. But you saw that people were taking advantage of her. And I guess something like hundreds of millions of dollars a year are scammers taking advantage of the elderly. Like, what are some of the scams that people use?
Yeah. I focus a lot on any sort of scam that is tech related. Particularly if they want to connect to a computer or your iPad or something like that. But a big one a handful of years ago that I think a lot of people are familiar with, where they would call claiming to be from someone from the federal government, claiming that you owe taxes, like the
That's
IRS.
That's the scariest. Like, I'm definitely sending money wherever they tell me.
Right. And they'd call and say, you owe, you know, back taxes and we're going to audit you. Or you'll go to prison if you don't solve it today, and people would fall for it. But most of what I do these days are tech related, but there's tons of them. And I think that's part of what got me started was I'm like software engineer by trade. I was on the internet all the time, millennial, and I didn't know that these scams existed. And I was thinking, if my grandmother was still alive today, my grandfather had Alzheimer's as well. I'm like, man, they would fall for this stuff, right? Like they wouldn't know any better. They'd get a call from one of these guys saying they're from Microsoft and they'd just go along with it. So I felt like I had to try to do something and it developed over the years into whatever it is I do now. It's hard to even describe. I just mess around and call scammers, I guess.
Yeah. So you like, you essentially you bait them. If everybody wants to go to your channel, it's the Kit Boga channel, Kit Boga, K-I-T-B-O-G-A on YouTube, where scammers are yelling at you also because they're upset you're trying to like, you have 2.5 million subscribers. Like, so okay, there's a whole thing here because you're also, you don't just do this by yourself. Like, you created a whole social media show around this. Like this is your life now. Like, you're gonna make a living for the rest of your life if you want to because of your YouTube channel and other social media, I'm assuming. So like, what happened? What was the you decided, I'm gonna, with great power comes great responsibility. I'm going to avenge my grandmother. And what was the first scam that you you found the scammer and you baited him, and what happened?
So I remember it was a tech scammer pretending to work for Microsoft. I think I kind of just was Googling for Microsoft tech support phone number or something. And I realized that if you go to the 7th page, right? Or you go on Yahoo and you, like, there's, if you try to act like maybe your grandmother would and I saw this sketchy looking phone number that said like official Microsoft tech support phone number.
Why was it sketchy looking?
Yeah, sure. So usually if you search, like if you were to search on whatever engine you use right now, Microsoft or some legitimate business isn't going to put the 1-800 number first. And instead of using a zero, they would put like an O, or is it umlauts in German with the two dots on the top?
Right? Oh, yeah,
They try to obscure it so that it doesn't look quite like a phone number, because they know that the search engines would sense that something strange is going on.
Ah, I see. So the search engines might look at this and say, hey, there's Microsoft tech support written all over this, but...
We know it's not actually Microsoft tech support, because Microsoft.com is an established tech support, right?
Are the search engines that sophisticated that they're searching around for scams like that?
I don't know the exact answer, other than I have seen Google in particular, although I hate to give them too much credit, that I have seen them over the years get better at hiding some of the results. Let me just see right now. I bet if you type in like Microsoft computer support, I'm just going to check. I don't usually get numbers like this anymore. Usually it's just people in the community send me numbers. I'll also sometimes post images. If you look at the images tab, so one of my results, this kind of a clip art stock photo of a person with a headset, and it says official Microsoft support with an 844 number. And you're kind of like, that's not what Microsoft would do. You know, they don't. And it's posted on, it's a random like WordPress website, right? A random blog with an image that says official. So they're trying to play the game. They're trying to make it show up in the search engine. Does that make sense?
So they'll write something like, you have a tech support issue, like your email's been exposed or whatever, call us to reset your password or whatever.
A big one is printers. If you search for your printer model and then support phone number afterwards, particularly a handful of years ago, almost every result other than the HP.com or whatever kind of printer you had was a scam. It was just hundreds of websites full of just fake garbage. And you would call and they'd say, hi, welcome to support. Like, how can I help you? And then, and going back to your question, I was on the phone and not 2 minutes afterwards, they said, can we connect to your computer? And I think I just hung up and ran to my wife. It was like, oh my God, they're everywhere. Like this, like someone wants to connect to my computer already. Cause I was hesitant to believe that it would be, you know, you read statistics about millions of dollars being stolen and all these scams, and you're like, really? Like, are there really that many scammers out there? And so I think when I tried it for myself and I saw within minutes someone wanted to scam me, like, okay, I guess it's real.
Wow. So if you're seeking out the scam, it takes basically just seconds to get on the phone with somebody.
Sure. Yeah. I think, well, they have changed their tactics for sure. That was, I think, 5 years ago now.
And so, okay. So 5 years ago, what would you do? So you would get contacted by a scammer, and what would you do? You would act like, what would happen? What was the first one like?
Yeah. Well, originally I didn't do any, now I do different voices and I try to sound older or something, like an old man. But I didn't do that 5 years ago. So I just called as myself. And honestly, I just was curious because I had no clue what was going to happen, right? It was almost, I don't want to say it was like a game because I took it seriously, but to some degree it was, you know, you're adventuring and learning. And I would let them connect to a virtual machine that I set up. I knew enough about virtual computers that I felt like it was safe. I knew that they weren't going to access my actual computer. And every time they would connect, I would learn something new. Like they would pull up the system configuration and they would see that it was a virtual machine, and then they would get mad and hang up.
Oh, really? So they've been, I mean, there's other people probably baiting them as well. Yeah. So,
and sometimes they check Not always, but sometimes they check because they don't want to waste, you know, an hour of their time when they could be.
Yeah.
And then I would go, oh, okay. It was a cat and mouse game where I figured out, well, I can spoof my configuration panel to not show that it's a virtual machine. And then it was like that for quite a few years. And then maybe 2 years ago or so, they started wanting to log on to your bank account. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to let them onto my real bank.
And so wait, how would those scams work? Like,
yeah.
Because obviously you wouldn't be calling a printing company and they wouldn't say, hey, let me log onto your bank account. Like,
yeah, good question. A good question, because I'm jumping around. That scam is more, one way that they do it is they'll either email you an invoice, or they will call and say, hi, this is Norton or Microsoft, some well-known computer name, Geek Squad, whatever. And according to our records, you paid $580 for this year's renewal of your service. And most people, of course, are thinking, well, either they hang up because they think it's fake, or you're immediately wondering, why would I pay $600 for, right? Like my Norton, it's not supposed to be that much money. And you say, I don't want to pay that much. I want a refund. I want to cancel it. And they say, we have to connect you to the server, the Norton server, to your computer to cancel it. And that's how they get on your computer. And then once they're on there and poking around, they'll make up some excuse about how they're having trouble canceling it, or you might need to fill out some kind of form to process this cancellation. One thing leads to another, and they're saying, all right, well, we sent you the refund. We just want you to log on and check that you got the money really quick in your bank, because if it didn't go through, I'll make sure that it goes through.
And by the time you log on, they've already installed like a keystroke logger on your computer?
Yep, or they have software that I guess you could use for legitimate IT purposes, but they use it maliciously that will, you can lock the end user's mouse and keyboard and hide their screen. And so now they can't control alt delete. They can't move their mouse. If the screen's hidden, they don't even know what you're doing. You might have logged into your bank, and then the second you do that, they hide the screen and they say, one moment, we're updating your system. When in reality, they're trying to do Zelle transfers or sign up for some Bitcoin website with your personal information, and they suddenly kind of own you, right? Like they own your account. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, that is scary. Actually, like, how many people fall for this a year?
I know that there's millions of dollars lost.
Like, do they steal everything in your account?
They'll try. They'll wow. try. So this is maybe a roundabout way of answering the question, but in the past 2 years, I think I've collected somewhere around 200 of their bank accounts. And so I've done it so many times.
What do you mean you've collected their bank accounts? Like,
I'll try to explain. I realized as soon as I said that, it sounds crazy. If they can't do a Zelle transfer, let's say, or if they're having trouble using your bank on your computer by themselves, they'll edit the HTML. So you may or may not know this, but on any browser, you can right click and look at the source code.
Yeah.
Or you can inspect. There's an option to inspect, and you can actually change the HTML temporarily. So you could.
I didn't know you could do that though.
Yeah. So I always joke about it on YouTube or something well, you could right click where it says Kiboga and change it to your username and make it look like you, like now you own the Kiboga channel. Or I joked about it. People got mad, but I joked about it when all the NFT stuff was coming about. Somebody, I just right clicked and edited the HTML to show on Twitter, like, oh, look, now I own the. Anyway, so they edit your HTML of your bank. It's temporary, of course. So the second you refresh the page, it goes back to normal. It's only a local setting. They'll say something like, we were supposed to give you $300 or $600, but I accidentally sent you 6,000. I typed an extra zero, or I accidentally sent you 60,000. I typed, like, I tried to do a period and two zeros afterwards, but the period didn't work. And I'm going to lose my job. My manager is going to be mad at me because I sent you 60,000 instead of 600. You know, my kids are going to, right? They do this whole sob story. And of course, they're appealing to your good side, where you would say, oh, you know what? Of course, it was an honest mistake. Now I will send you $59,000 back, right? You want to be a good person, and they'll give you a bank account. They'll say, like, go to your bank and wire $59,000 to, and if you don't, then they'll lock your computer.
But won't you see in your bank account that you didn't get an extra $60,000 all of it just then?
Well, because they edit the HTML,
and they
lock your mouse. You don't necessarily start clicking around and going, wait a second, did I really get? And they'll tell you, don't call your bank because your phone line is hacked, right? They make up all kinds of weird excuses. But yeah, so when I said I got something around 200 bank accounts, it was just, there's just various times throughout the past 2 years where they'd be like, okay, well, I need you to wire the money. And I usually am only doing this, let's say 3 days a week, I'm doing these phone calls. And if I was able to get 200 of them, right? Like, there must, and they're making thousands and thousands of calls every day. Now, my hope is that, and I think there's some evidence to suggest this, but my hope is that over time it's gotten harder for them, that more people are learning about it, and that me, the old man who's falling for the scam, is the first guy that month, right, who fell for it.
But I think a lot of people do fall for it. I mean, we have this aging boomer population. You know, dementia is dementia. Like, you're not really aware of what's going on. So, okay, so what happens? Like, do you seek out the scammers, or you're just going through your emails and responding? Like, every day you get probably scam emails. Like, I get scam emails.
Yeah.
What's your process?
Yeah, I'll try to look up some statistics at some point too, but I know Microsoft was, every couple of years, they did an update of, like, the tech support scam statistics. But in terms of process, most of them these days are people in the community send me emails or phone numbers that someone in their family got. Hey, my grandma got this sketchy looking email, or she keeps getting called by some dude named Mike who says he's from Microsoft. And then I call back, and I call and pretend that I'm someone who needs help with my computer. And then I just own a bunch of random VoIP phone numbers that I've used over the years, and the scammers resell your numbers. So if they can't scam you, right, they'll just sell your number to someone else or try again next week. And so I get calls and voicemails all day.
And so, like, a voicemail might be, you know, Mr. So-and-so, where with the IRS, please give us a call back immediately. This is a pressing matter.
Yep. Which I think is funny, because if you've ever had any dealings with the IRS, or yes, you've ever tried to contact them, you would know that they don't really want to talk to you on the phone. Like, I don't know about you, but my experience has been that you stay on hold forever, and there's an automatic system that says, like, most of your questions can be answered if you go to irs.gov, right? They're actively trying to get you to hang up. But those scammers, the second you dialed that number, they'd be like, hello, this is the IRS. How can I help you? And I always used to think, oh, man, like, if you guys want to be legit, you have to put people on hold for an hour and then.
Right. But let's walk through that. So call them and they say, hello, this is Micro, or this is the IRS. How can we help you? Then what happens then?
Yeah. So, most of the time these days, it's I know the script better than they do because I've been doing it for so long, and I kind of play around with it and take them through absurd situations. So I'll pretend to be an older man, and as we're going through it, I come up with it just ridiculous excuses, or like, oh, I got a question. Like, what is the cloud? My grandson keeps telling me about the cloud, and I'll refuse to download the software to connect to my computer until they can explain to me what the cloud is, right? And I just try to make their life miserable, I suppose, and waste time. Because 4 or 5 years ago when I started, I thought, you know what? It might not solve everything, but if I could spend an hour on the phone with one of these scammers, that was an hour that that person wasn't on the phone with someone's grandma.
And it was also an hour you weren't doing anything else. Like, what was going on in your life then?
I know. Well, at the time, I was a software engineer. So I only did it at night, like random times at night when I could do it.
So it was like a hobby. It was like fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what ended up happening, if I remember correctly, is one day I'm bad at it, but I can play guitar. I have fun playing it. And I got a scammer to sing a song with me. I was just joking around. And somebody, I barely even knew what Reddit was. Like, I knew of Reddit, but I didn't use it. Somebody posted a clip on some subreddit. And because I used to stream on Twitch, if you're familiar. And for my friends. Like, I'd have 2 people watching that were my friends because I wanted them to see it. And we would just joke around and call these scammers. And then the next time I streamed, suddenly there were like 40 people watching. And that's the story of why I usually am wearing, if you ever see me, like in the videos, I wear these sunglasses. So I had no clue why there were people watching me. And I ran out to my car and I had aviators and I put them on because I was like, who are these people? I don't want anyone to watch me. I never intended to be
a superhero. Or... You put on a costume.
Exactly.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And so, okay, I interrupted you though. So you call back Microsoft or whoever, you make them waste a lot of time. And then what do you do? Like, how far do you take them?
Eventually, I'll let them go through their script. Of course, part of it is I want to educate people about how the scam works. So I'll fall for it. I give them a hard time, but I'll let you onto my bank. And sometimes my bank has $0 and they get really mad at me. Sometimes I put $3 million, right? Typically, I'll just put, say, $10,000. I guess I never explained this, but basically, I coded a fake bank website a handful of years ago. And then more recently, I basically do some fancy tricks to make the Bank of America demo website look like a real one. But anyway, so they think my bank is real. I let them do their scam. And then usually they're asking me to wire money or go buy gift cards, right? Somehow I need to complete their scam. And at that point, I mean, we just do there's been so many stories from, well, I can't go get the gift cards because my grandson, I promised him that I would take him to see Santa Claus. So unless you're going to pretend to be Santa Claus, I'm not going to, right? And then I get them to, I pretend to be a young kid and they're like, it's just some of those stories are absurd, but I try to get them to jump through hoops and do stupid things.
Like, what's the longest you've ever had someone thinking they were going to make money from you and you just kept on and on?
38 hours is the longest across.
Like, what happened?
Like a month. Because it wasn't all at once, it would just be every couple days. So those guys. It was pretty ridiculous. This isn't on YouTube or anywhere yet, just because there's so much footage to go through. But I do this. Hopefully, this comes through. But
sometimes I pretend to be an older woman.
Wow, that was really. Was that through software you did that?
It's a like a Roland voice transformer that lets me pitch my voice a little higher. I can show if I do stuff like this and pitch it higher, all of which I was just trial and error over the years. But anyway, I think I said something like I was just trying to bother them when they asked me to go when they were doing their scam. I said something like, "Oh, I keep getting a call from this guy from the FTC." And of course, these scammers are thinking, that's just a scam. And they kept getting angry, saying, don't answer it, don't answer it. And then I merged the call with this FTC guy, but it's me. And so I'm saying like, hey, my name's FTC Frank. Like, I'm the owner of the FTC. You know, you owe a bunch of money. And the scammers are thinking this is absurd. But I had my grandma character fall for it and think, oh my gosh, this is really the FTC. And so now the scammers are going, ma'am, come on, this isn't the FTC. This isn't the FTC. And so I go, I'm like, you know what? If you don't believe me, I'm gonna get the vice president on the line. I'm gonna get. I think I even called her, like I said her name wrong and everything. And then I like,
hi, I'm the vice president, ma'am.
And so I'm playing like a bunch of characters falling for this scam that I made up. And then one of the scammers takes the phone and he goes. And,
but so just to understand. Meanwhile, yeah. There's the other people really trying to scam you.
Right, they're listening.
Like, what were they trying to scam you of?
They were just like, trying to do the, like, oh, we accidentally sent you $60,000. Can you give us a wire transfer?
And then how did you tie in the FTC to that?
It was completely random. Like, I just kept hinting it. I had my phone vibrating throughout the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, the FTC keeps calling me. And then I just forced them to meet the FTC, even though it was me.
Yeah.
I'm realizing as I explain this that it's kind of crazy, but
no, it's interesting how you developed these scenarios. So you basically said they were trying to tell you it was a scam because they wanted to get back to business,
right? They want me to leave them alone,
and you basically imply like maybe you can help me. Like here they are, and then you patch it right in.
I was pretending to fall for this FTC guy, and of course the FTC scammer is telling me to hang up on those guys. I'm trying to get them to fight. And so some other scammer who was in the room, because oftentimes there's a bunch of them kind of huddled around a laptop listening. It's not usually one guy. They like trade the phone back and forth. Or some guy picks up the phone and goes, ma'am, this is President Joe Biden. Hang up the call. And so I hung up. And for the next like month, I pretended that I was in an on-again, off-again relationship with Joe Biden. And he like pretended to be the president. It was so, and they gave me, I think, 30 bank accounts or maybe even more over the course of about a month, because they kept thinking that I had something like $200,000 in my fake bank. So I kept making excuses like, oh, well, the manager told me I could only send 5,000 at a time. So send me 10 bank accounts and I'll get, you know, I'll send you $50,000, and they would do it. And then I work with people in the bank fraud world who would like shut down the accounts or investigate, right? But anyway, absurd story, but the scammers think it's real. Like they think that some old lady believes that they're Joe Biden and that they're going to get 200 grand.
What happened the first time they didn't get the 5 grand?
Usually they get mad, but maybe a good term would be like sunk cost fallacy, I usually mention, because maybe they spent 6 hours and they really thought they were going to get that 5,000. But I said something like, oh, when I got to the bank, I thought it was a 3 at the end on the account that you sent me, but I wrote an 8 because I have really bad vision. And so it went to the wrong person. And they're thinking, oh, well, let's try again. We already spent 6 hours. She has a bunch of money. She was willing to try to do the wire transfer. So,
and they've seen your money because they see this fake account with fake $200,000 in it.
But they think it's real.
And then what happened at the end? Like, how did that relationship you had develop end? How did you break up with each other?
Yeah, they were at the end. They would just get. He was very angry. It got to the point where he was just screaming, like, you know, that he's going to murder my family and stuff, which is absurd for the president to say, right?
At this point, though, did he realize you were fake, or was he just frustrated?
No, he just was frustrated because a month had gone by, you know, 30-something hours, all these bank accounts they can't use anymore. And eventually they're probably, I still don't fully understand how they didn't connect those two dots. I'm like, man, every account we send this woman, like a few days later, I can't access it anymore. But not to open up a whole, what would you say, like a rabbit trail, but a lot of that I think is sort of underground. Like they're working with their friends to launder the money. They borrow some other scammer's bank account. So maybe they don't realize, they don't know why that account got shut down because they didn't have access.
Yeah, maybe there's a whole network of bank accounts that get opened and shut down like all over the country for this.
But yeah, at the end, he just, I think it was enough's enough. They were getting really frustrated. And I myself, they had stopped giving me more bank accounts. And so I have this sort of personal rule that like, I probably could have talked to them. I could probably still be talking to them, right? But as I've gotten better at doing this over the years, I tell people, I think of it like fishing. Be like, you know, I know that there's bigger fish out there that can give me bank accounts or I can collect more information to report. So when they stopped giving me bank accounts and they weren't really as interested in talking to me, I did something crazy where part of the story was that woman was married to another one of my characters. So I would do both voices at the same time. And I made some insane scenario about how that guy who they knew as my husband was actually working with the original FTC Frank guy to scam the woman. And they like freaked out. And, you know, they're like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
How'd they find that out? Because the old woman told them? You wouldn't believe what
I accidentally sent them a text message from the husband's like phone. And I said, like, we're about to get the money, man. Like, Frank, we're about to get the... And they called and were like, what are you talking about? And I ended up sort of ending it by inserting an absolutely absurd situation just to see if they would go along with it. And they didn't want to, they didn't want to go along with it. But
And like, what about when people realize that you're like, let's say you've been stringing someone along for a couple of days or even a couple of hours and they realize, wait a second, this guy's baiting us.
Yep.
What's the scenario where that's happened?
Yeah, it does happen. I mean, it runs, there's a very wide range. Some of them will hang up and that's it. Like they immediately hang up.
Yeah.
I would say about half of them want to insert some expletive or say something about how like, oh, you mother effer, whatever. Like they say lots of things to try to sound like, I don't know, get the upper hand, I guess. I think of them as like school bullies.
Do they ever say, oh, touche, good one?
Every you once in us. A while, yeah. And sometimes they'll even, as time has passed, and there's other people who do these sorts of videos and call scammers too. So as it's gotten more popular, sometimes the scammers will even be like, oh, I know it's you, Kipoga, or like, I know it's...
Really?
Yeah, or they'll name drop different people. And they don't even always know that it's me. They're just guessing. It's almost like a myth, right? Like they know that there's these people out there that call scammers.
Do you ever give any clues where they can really track you down?
Probably. I mean, sometimes I do similar voices, right? And I've done them for years. And I've been using a Bank of America bank account. It's fake, but for a year, let's say.
Like, do you ever get worried someone's going to really actively try to scam you? And like, if someone scammed you, you're like the expert now. like that would be surprising. Like it's almost like a challenge.
Every once in a while, I have thought in the back of my mind, like, oh man, like what if there's this really long con, but I don't know what it would be.
It could be like, listen, we've gotten a lot of flags on your YouTube account.
Uh-huh.
We're holding on to the money for the moment. You need to talk to our compliance officer,
right.
And then I'm sure this will be straightened out. It's just so many people have flagged your account. Mm-hmm. You have to have a discussion. It got elevated.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that I've learned enough that I would double, triple check, or I would be asking the right people, but it could happen.
Yeah, because you can't call YouTube, right? So, yeah. Like, unless they give you, like, you can't call someone to verify that this was YouTube.
Sure.
And I could spoof YouTube's block of phone numbers and call you and say, listen, it's no big deal. And then not ask for anything other than just a discussion. And then 6 months later, I can say, listen, you've been flagged a bunch of times again. It's me again. We just need to have the conversation. It's going to be fine. And we're holding $700 in ad money for you.
And we need you to do this. That's actually funny. I was just telling a friend of mine that some days I think about pivoting to that world. Like I still want to, I have fun calling scammers, and obviously there's quite the community that's come around alongside it. But what you just described, I think of like social engineering and ethical hacking, kind of like, could I, you know, some company hires me to basically see if I can like bait their CEO into giving me the keys to the kingdom, right? Like, I think that would be wild to work on.
Yeah, it's an interesting challenge. Have you ever thought about doing like a TV show on this? Like, has anyone approached you?
We've thought about it. At one point, we're working on an animated series, but for reasons that I don't know if I'm allowed to discuss, we did the pilot and parted ways with the particular group and are kind of shopping that around. But TV, yeah, we have thought about some TV show stuff. The hardest part, though, is that, well, I say hardest part, but a lot of this is, it's just random improv. And one of the guys that works with me calls it a numbers game. Like, I call 5-6 scammers and they don't always go along with my shenanigans, right? They don't all fall for my bait and they don't all want to give me a bank account. On YouTube, it looks like they all do because I post the, right? Like, I post the best ones.
Yeah.
But when I stream it live, you'll see, because sometimes people comment like, this has got to be fake. Like, there's no way they fall for this. There's no way.
Well, you know, the best people to sell to are salesmen. So probably the best people to scam are scammers.
Maybe.
Like I feel like I'm kind of a salesman. Like I've started companies, I've sold things all my life, and I'm easy to sell to. So when I'm being sold, I always need to bring someone with me to remind me to do the correct due diligence.
Yeah.
Because I'm so easy to sell to. I'll just say yes to anything.
Great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like I want to be liked. When you're a salesman, you want to be liked. Sure. And so I want other salesmen to like me when they're selling me.
Right. So, oh man, has there been times where you've gotten in a situation like that where you've said like, oh man, I might be getting scammed or swindled or a really bad deal?
I was almost scammed one time. It was an incredible scam. It was like a $20 million scam. Not my $20 million, but somebody called me, you know, because I wrote a lot of articles about entrepreneurship and mm-hmm. Twitter and Google. So someone called me and said, listen, and it's like, oh, you would almost hear my story telling this and you would say that instantly, that's a scam. But so someone called me and said, listen, this was before Twitter went public. They said, I had $20 million worth of Twitter shares. I bought it in the last round, but now I'm trying to fund a construction project in Chicago. Here's the website for the construction project. I'm trying to fund this. I need the $20 million. I'm willing to sell it for like $14 million. $20 million legit in the prior round. They're going to go public. It'll be worth like $80 million, but I'll sell it to anybody for $15 million, $14 million. You know who I can sell it to. And so I called a friend of mine who ran a hedge fund, and he's like, they have $20 million worth of Twitter from around several years ago, and Twitter's about to go public at a much higher valuation, and they're selling it for $10 million. I said, yeah. And so they all got on the phone. Documents were sent back and forth. The guy was claiming to be, and this is the part where somebody should have said this is a scam. The guy was claiming to be the son of the doctor of the king of Saudi Arabia.
Uh-oh.
So he was like not in the royal family, but close enough that you could believe the son would have $20 million somehow. And, you know, apparently it was a legit name and we did some things. Like we were tracing where was this phone number that he was calling from. And it was from, it looked like Twitter's offices, like
wow.
The GPS.
So they really went through great lengths to set up, to make it seem legitimate. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all the document, like the Twitter certificate was faxed back and forth of the shares. All the documents of the last round were shared and it was all legit. And now it just so happened, like, so this guy, Josh, who was at the hedge fund, he was 10 minutes away from wiring the 10 million, 10
no,
minutes away.
Kidding.
And he's like, James, I'm just having a funny feeling. Like, can we just try one more time? And let's say to them, we want to confirm with the Twitter CFO. And it just so happened, I knew the Twitter chief financial officer. So they gave us a phone number. Here's the Twitter CFO. He can confirm We're shareholders. It's all legit. We even confirmed with a construction project. So that must have all been fake. And there was a lot of confirming because you're doing due diligence on $10, $20 million. So we thought we did all. So they gave us the phone number of the CFO, this guy Niels. And Josh, the hedge fund guy, calls Niels and says, hey, I just want to confirm that, you know, Muhammad so-and-so from, you know, owns. And Niels is like, yes, he definitely owns. He was in our last round. And then Josh said, and I just want you to know, your friend, James Altucher, is on the call with us, you know. And I said, hey, Niels, how you doing? And then hang up. And that was the last we ever heard from him. And then I did call Niels at Twitter. The FBI got involved, questioned everybody. Like, it was a huge thing.
I would love to, fully unpack that sometime too, because it's wild how involved it sounds, like faxing all those documents. Most of the scammers I talk to don't go that deep, where they're looking for someone to just go along with it and not ask questions, right? They don't prepare for the due diligence. So when, for example, the guy pretending to be Joe Biden, when I ask him something like, oh man, you're live right now on CNN, right? Like, oh, it's pre-recorded, right? And just, they don't know what to do.
Like, that's almost like a common kind of scam where, and you know this better than me, where they almost want to be stupid, because if you're falling for that, they know they're going to get their money. It's going to be easier for them to get it. Whereas like what the scammers I was dealing with that one time, now clearly we were all falling for it, but so we were stupid in some ways, but they're also, know they're dealing with like a, you know, they're talking about $20 million, $10 million. They're dealing with a sophisticated hedge fund.
Yeah, you can't.
So they have to not assume we're not going to be stupid and still scam us.
Right.
Like, so it's like much more elaborate. But to your point though, with all these scammers that you're dealing with, they're dealing with the elderly. They're dealing with one, they're filtering out smart people so they could just deal with the ones who are most likely to fall for it.
Yeah. And sometimes I think it's not always just intelligence. Sometimes it's like, who will listen to me without question? Or can I put them in a sense of urgency? Like that, that's one thing that's common across pretty much any scam. I don't know if it was involved in yours that you were just discussing, or not your scam, but the you know what
I'm talking about. The one I almost fell for.
Right.
Man, I would have killed myself if that went through.
Oh, God. Oh, man. It would have, well, God, I hate to be like dark and somber about it, but there are people that do, like, they get scammed and they lose their life savings and like, well, now what? Of course, if there's anyone listening, I would want to say I think there's hope and there's resources and people that you should talk to if you're ever in that place. But
is there insurance you could buy for scams? Probably not, because you could probably scam that.
I know. So I've recently, funny enough, got an email about it from some company who is like, oh, we offer this scam insurance, yada, yada. And I was looking into it because that was my initial gut reaction is, how are you going to offer scam insurance? Like, how do you prove that you got scammed? Maybe you would have to have a legit police report, but couldn't I just fake get scammed? Like, couldn't I? Yeah. Like, how far does it go? Do you just copy one of my videos and say that happened to me, right? That's not. So I am leery of scam insurance at today's date, but maybe I'm not very informed about it. So
How many of these have you done now? Like, how many scam baitings have you done?
I don't even know. Thousands, for sure.
Like, this is your full-time thing now.
Yeah, yeah. So I've done something like 1,100 live streams. And I don't know, sometimes I call 3-4 different scammers. So it just depends. It's hard to put an exact number. Over the past 2 years, we've been much more... but we've been a lot better about logging it, just because I think the statistics are cool.
And it's so interesting that so many go along with your scam baiting. It means that, I mean, they're probably just, like you said, they're on the phone all day long with people And anybody who wants to talk to them, they think this is money in the bank. Like, how does it work on their side? Is it, like you said, it's not one person, it's a group.
Yeah,
are they working for someone?
Yeah.
Like,
usually a group. Sometimes I've noticed that the folks who, the scammers who talk to me longer, like the 38-hour guys, they seemed to be a much smaller, I don't know, ragtag group of like three guys in their apartment trying to scam. And I think I was just the first person that like really fell for it. And so they went all in and right. But most of the time you hear other people in the background and they robocall. Like, funny enough, a week or two ago, I was just randomly searching for some stuff. And I found there's public Facebook groups like right now where scammers are buying and selling lists of like old people who have either already been scammed or previously bought Norton antivirus, right? And they're just like, yo, WhatsApp me for if you want 10,000 customers who have worked with Best Buy before. And then on that same, on those same Facebook groups, there'll be ads for setting up your call center robo dialers. And it's literally all just right out there.
So there's almost like training to be a scammer.
Yeah. You like
you need the robo dialer, you need the pool of bank accounts, you know, here's a common script.
Yeah. And another really common thing is if you mistype a website, so maybe I wouldn't maybe suggest doing it right now, but if you type Gmail with two G's, I think is one of them that will, Google doesn't own it and it'll redirect you like 17 times and you'll wind up maybe at Amazon, maybe some rant. It's like a marketing. People pay to, right? They pay money to randomly get leads from this mistyped website. But sometimes, James, they are fake virus pop-ups. It'll say, your computer's infected with a Trojan. Call Microsoft, and it has a 1-800 number, but it's one of these scammers. So on that same Facebook group, there's people selling the like the lead generation side of it's crazy.
Why doesn't law enforcement like shut down these groups?
I mean,
or Facebook?
Shut down Facebook. I think part of the issue is I have very little law enforcement background, but I believe the term would be something like jurisdiction, right? Where you have typically these scammers are in other countries. Like now you got to play nice with their government and their due process of law and you got all the bureaucracy. So here in the United States, it's a lot easier to, for example, there are people who will decide that they want to help these. I don't know exactly how the deal works, but they'll process credit cards for these scammers, right? And they'll get a cut, I assume. Who knows how much? And since a lot of those people are here in the United States and they have legitimate businesses in order to, you know, use Stripe or something to process these credit cards, then authorities here can much quicker, or it's a lot faster for them to prosecute and put those people in jail. Like they go to prison, but it's much harder to track and prosecute and jail somebody who's in another country. That's my understanding.
Particularly also if they're transferring the money straight to like some crypto thing and then it's just gone.
Yeah, that's it. That is, this year in particular, that's way more common. They don't ask to do wire transfers as much. I like to believe that it's because people like me have reported so many of their bank accounts.
Who do you report them to? Like, who do you, like, do you call the FBI or what do you do?
I mean, there's a variety of different people. At this point, I've built relationships with like a bunch of the larger banks or different people who work in bank fraud and who all play nice with all of the three-letter agencies. Like, right, you can just say, hey, I got this account that is at Bank of America. They want me to send $100,000 and I know that they're actively pursuing that with all the people that aren't necessary. I'm just saying Bank of America, but most of the banks don't really want me to be too involved, and they don't really want to publicly state that they're doing any of this, maybe for liability reasons.
Do you think they do close down those bank accounts, though?
That's what they tell me. That's what they say. And there are times where the scammers, they'll be like, ma'am, some banks are better than others. Or I just have relationships with certain banks where they'll almost immediately like freeze the account and start investigating it within an hour or something, right?
Of wow.
So there have been times where I'm on the phone, I report the bank account. 30 minutes later, I just pretend to go to the bank, but I don't actually go there. And they're like, ma'am, don't, I got to give you a new account. Which implies, right, that they've lost it in some. They don't tell me that they lost it, because why would they?
And now, have you ever met in real life one of these scammers?
Not that I know of.
Could you, like, I feel like there's this whole dark world of tens of thousands of people who are sitting in their rooms right now calling old people and like stealing. Like, let's say the reported number is 200 million a year. There must be a billion a year that's actually, people are probably ashamed to say they've been scammed.
Sure. I know that a friend of a friend who works in law enforcement told me a story once. I'll shorten it to say that they fell for one of the IRS scams, right? About, we're auditing you. You got to send money. But he told the police that someone came to their house and was wearing a uniform and like had a badge. But then they realized, wait, the script, what you're saying to us when you give the account of what happened is the script that like the phone. And eventually the person admitted, like, yeah, they called me. But they were and I'm not necessarily knocking that person. It's just, yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, and it's hard to come to terms with. I fell for this, right? So I would venture to guess that not every scam is reported. Or you don't know, right? There are people who lost money and they don't realize that it was a scam.
Yeah, like maybe they sent $700 to Norton and they said, thank God I sent that, or else I would have had this virus.
Mm-hmm.
So they think they did like a good thing.
Right. And there are some scammers who, I don't know if they're more successful or not. I don't know how to evaluate all of it, who play a much more professional game in that regard. Where, so another friend of mine had said that his mother needed her printer fixed, and she's searched for printer support, whatever, called this number, and they fixed her printer. They actually installed the drivers, and she paid $100 or something. And she got set up to be part of their, you ever need help, call us. Now, a week later, they call back and say, ma'am, we just want to make sure your printer's okay. And, we kind of noticed you got some problems. We should tweak your computer for another $100. And this just kept going on to where at one point they said, your network's hacked so badly that you have to pay $1,000. And that's where she reached out to my friend and said, is this normal? But she had been paying, $100 here, $200 there for who knows how long, just thinking like, these are legitimate people.
I wonder if they break the printer somehow, like they hack in and break it just to then be called. Oh, but if she called by Googling a printer fixer, then who knows?
Well, the thing is, you don't know. Most of them just pretended to be the legitimate, whatever, Hewlett-Cannon support, but they're not. So you go into, you like build trust with these guys who they can do anything now. I had a guy maybe a month ago, James, they were saying, I see that you've been browsing these pornographic websites, and that's where you got a virus from. And I was playing an old lady at the time. I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And like, my pastor would be so mad at me. And what I didn't realize, he was uploading, he was literally uploading porn to the computer. And so all of a sudden he opens up this folder and I'm like, how the heck did that get there? Like, I was very surprised.
And this was like your virtual computer or your fake computer you used for this, right?
Yeah, and I was streaming live. So thankfully I caught it fast enough that I didn't show stuff because I would have gotten in trouble. But the point is, the reason I brought it up is like he planted the evidence, right? Like they'll open your command prompt and pretend to, they'll type in netstat to show your active connections. And then they'll just tell you they're hackers. They do some like tricks and you could fall for, like someone might believe that they're actually hackers, pay the $400 to quote, remove the hackers and be none the wiser and never report it because they removed the hackers, right? That's so I wonder if that people are reporting it when it gets much worse. Right. When they realize, oh, now they're asking me for $6,000. Now they're asking me for $60,000. But
and when you started doing this, like you said, you went from 2 watchers to 40 watching your live stream and then you start making YouTube videos. Yeah. When did you realize, oh my gosh, I can make a living from this? I'm gonna quit my job and just do this.
I wish I knew the exact time. I remember being a little worried. Because I had no background in streaming or YouTube stuff. I was a software engineer, but I was having a lot of fun doing it. And I was making enough. I started working part-time as a software engineer and part-time like streaming stuff. And I was making enough. Thankfully, like my parents had taught me some stuff about finance when I was pretty young. I don't know the right term for it. You probably would know the idea of sort of as you make more money, you don't necessarily just make your lifestyle match that money. You kind of like, there's probably a good term for that, but.
There probably is, but I tend to, as I make more money, I tend to live more than the money should let me live.
Oh, shoot.
Then I go broke.
Okay, well, I didn't do that. So I had a pretty, I don't know. I was making a decent amount of money as a software engineer, but we had our lifestyle creep maybe is a good word for it. Our lifestyle hadn't caught up to that income. And so when the stream and the YouTube videos kind of met that lower threshold or whatever, my wife in particular kind of was like, you know what? Like, I know you've always kind of been sort of a dreamer or like, I just like to try stuff. Like, you probably would regret not trying this for a year. And the worst case that happens is you just go get a software job, right? Like it's not, you could, so I just tried it and now I'm still doing it. I don't know if I can get a software job now, but
well, altogether, how many subs do you have across all of your different channels and Twitch and YouTube? And
man, I don't even keep track as much anymore. Well, I don't know if they overlap, right? So I think there's 1 million on Twitch to some million on YouTube, but some of them overlap, right? So I don't know if you would say it's 3 million, but then there's Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, blah, 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 blah. So,
man,
it's crazy. It's crazy the number. That's what I also can't wrap my mind around is how just like the millions of people that have seen the videos or seen a clip, right? So I've had clips go on the front page of Reddit and like those get millions of views, right? So it's just wild.
Does anyone recognize you in the street? Like if you're walking around a mall,
yeah,
or a gas
sometimes
station,
like it's not common. But I did have literally like a week or two ago, I had someone, a high schooler, was like, "Oh, are you Kip Boga, the famous TikToker?" And I was like, "I don't think of myself as I don't like TikTok. I just happen to post stuff on there because so many people are on there." And it was just a really funny experience because. Like famous TikToker, what do you like? What? But
well, it's cool because if you're watching like your Twitch stream and you hear this voice of a scammer, this is someone who's faking an identity in order to perform. Like he's a criminal right then, and he's engaging in criminal activity right on Twitch. He's live streaming his crime. He doesn't know it.
Yeah,
and so that's a fascinating thing.
Yeah,
and how do you foresee keeping? Do you have to up the ante in terms of the creativity of how you're scamming the scammer? Like, because it seems like you've now developed elaborate scenarios, like where it's like That's genius when you had like FTC Frank.
Right.
You know, and then her older boyfriend was trying to actually work with FTC Frank, the scammer.
Yeah.
Like, that's fascinating.
They definitely don't always go like that or always fall for it. But I think one of the most recent things I've had to do is I've noticed that they'll hide your screen and open your webcam to see if you're a real victim and not someone like me. And so a friend of mine who's much smarter than I, she basically like hacked something together on my virtual computer that whenever they hide my screen, it's transparent. They don't know it's transparent, but like we can all see what's happening. And when they open my camera, I've developed like, it's like very bare bones, deep fake, kind of like glorified Snapchat filters, I guess you could say, like of like me being bald and having wrinkles on my face. And it's just a live feed of me bald with wrinkles, or I put the wig on and pretend to be an old, and so far they've fallen for it, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is actually. So, for example, that 38 hour, those people who went for a really long time, like at one point they saw me as an old, so they think real old lady, $200,000, definitely can't be someone who's making a YouTube video, right? Like.
That's anyway, so funny.
But at some point, they might get smarter and notice that it's fake webcam.
What's the largest amount of money you faked having that they felt they were going to get?
I think $3 million.
Oh yeah, I saw that on your YouTube.
There was another one where it was somewhere $2 or $3 million. I pretended that I had like no money in my bank account, and they were kind of upset and about to hang up. And I said something like, "Oh man, it's too bad Bitcoin never worked out." And they're like, "What?" And like, yeah, my grandson had me buy Bitcoin like 20 years ago. Like, ma'am, do you know how much it's worth? And I had spoofed some exchange, maybe Kraken.com or something. I'm in no way suggesting you use them. I don't know anything about Kraken, but
yeah,
they were just easy to fake. So I logged in and sure enough, I have like $2 million worth of Bitcoin. You know, it's fake. But
and what do they say?
And they like, you know, they lose their minds. Like they go silent. And they're like, oh my God, this is the perfect score. And they're like, oh ma'am, I think that particular one, he even said, well, ma'am, since I made you a millionaire, will you give me some money? It's like, well, wait, you didn't make me a millionaire. You just told me that Bitcoin was worth a bunch of money. But that one was kind of a funny scenario for sure. I think it ended with them being really disappointed, which is what I usually try to. I would say just one thing to mention, because I haven't already. One thing that we've done over the years is I like to try to find ways to make them think that they're about to win and then take it all away. Maybe it's a little bit mean, but they're scammers.
No, they're scammers. These are bad people. Yeah.
So like one of the ways is a lot of them want gift cards. I coded a fake Google Play store. So I type in the Google Play code, any 16-digit, you know, like string. And it says that $500 got added to my account, but they don't know it's fake. So they freak out. Some of them just scream and like their true emotion comes out because they thought they were about to get some money and now it's gone. So yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah. I quite enjoy those. I think a lot of people do too.
So look, you're performing a valuable service. I like, you could go so many different directions. Like you should write a book. Like given the number of YouTube followers you have, you would get like probably $1 million advance at least on a book deal.
I don't know anything about book deals, but
literally if you just call an agent, I'll even introduce you to an agent and
a put real together one, like a pair.
You just have to wire me $750. That's my fee to introduce to an agent. And you could definitely get a book deal because all they look at now are follower numbers and they will literally just translate that to dollars in your advance.
That's wild. Huh. I'll have to think about it. I mean, I personally am like really into philosophy and mythology and just like weird stuff completely unrelated to So if I, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, if I would ever write a book, it'd be about something like that. But I guess there's probably people who even help you write books too.
Oh yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. There's plenty of people. And, but they'd probably want you to write a book about scammers.
Right. Of course. Like, why would I write about, that's what I meant. Like, why would I, there's, but I never thought about that because that's not what I would think to write about, I guess.
The one thing with the TV show is that, you know, you're not really doing anything other than talking on the phone and typing on your computer. So that's hard to turn into good TV.
Yes. So I also, I realized that part of, I had brought up part of the issue is the numbers game of, well, you could film for weeks and not get a scammer who pretends to be Joe Biden and falls for this crazy TV worthy scenario, right? So that is another part of the equation. I did a couple with some other like Twitch streamers. I've done some. There's a guy named German985 who put on what he called the dollhouse. The short context is Twitch could control him. They like decided what his actions were going to be while he was.
Oh, I remember this guy. Yeah.
Okay, maybe you've seen that. So I was also there playing a bunch of other characters, one of them being the grandma who I get scammed on a lot. And when we did that, there was definitely some moments where I was thinking, you know, it might be a lot more fun for something like television to have a set where like grandma and her improv guest are actually physically getting scammed and we actually physically drive to the store, right? Like where there's more visual elements.
You could almost make it like a contest where it's maybe scam baiters are competing to get the scammers the angriest and an audience votes which scammer was the angriest.
Sure.
So you see a bunch of people doing improv like comedians or whatever, people like you and who are, and you describe the techniques, you describe how they're scamming, and maybe there's kind of, what is it like, not simulation, but like they kind of do a fake, this is what the scammers must be doing. So there's some visual, like they do in a documentary where you don't really see what happened.
A reenactment.
But they have actors. Yeah, reenactment. So, all right, so there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
But look, Kit Boga, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me and not try to scam bait me or anything. And I really appreciate you sharing your story. You're doing good work. I swear to God, you fit the definition of a superhero.
Oh,
so
geez. Thank you. No,
have you ever been exposed to like radiation or anything that would make it complete?
Not that I know of. I have toured a nuclear reactor though. So maybe something happened when I was
maybe
younger.
Maybe that changed you.
Maybe
you got bit by an insect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It was so interesting. And everybody should check it. Where's all your, so if you search Kit Boga, KITBOGA on YouTube, you're going to find everything.
Yeah.
But where else? On Twitch as well.
Yeah. Usually, I mean, I think kitboga.com now just is just links to everything.
Yeah, and you have more Kit Boga.
There's a well, that's a whole other story. Like when you have 38 hours of content, like what do you do with it? You know.
And you have merchandise to sell, right?
Sure.
So
t-shirts and stuff.
You have a shirt. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I have a ton of fun doing it, and like the improv scenarios and being able to educate people about the scams while making them laugh. And in some way, being able to like fight against the scams has been the journey of my life so far.
Right. Like no one could criticize what you're doing. You're not doing like stupid stuff. You're actually like exposing people and stopping scammers. And you could do this now for the rest of your life. That's the beauty of like getting a bunch of followers on YouTube. Like as long as you're not kicked off YouTube, but also you've diversified, you're on Twitch, you're on, sure. on Facebook, yeah. you're on, you know, all these other things. So you could literally do this for the rest of your life if you want.
Yeah, I secretly hope that like there will be less, well, secretly is not the right word. I hope that there will be less scams. And maybe I do a lot of AI stuff. I've been getting into AI and like learning Python, and I've been building an AI to call scammers. But that's a whole other. So that would be fun to pivot to, right? If there's less scams, well, maybe I could do. But anyway, yeah, it's been a wild to see so many, like just millions and millions of people come alongside something that once was me. Literally, my first stream was me with a Guitar Hero microphone. Like I plugged a USB Guitar Hero microphone into my computer to show my friend that a scammer wanted to connect to my computer. And now here I am. So it's just, it's nuts.
That's amazing. Well,
thank you.
Thanks once again, Kip Boga. I really appreciate it. Come back on anytime you want. And okay. let's definitely update again at some point.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I'd love to hear like all the details about that scam that you were involved in.
I wrote an article about it. I
definitely would love to read that. And I know you're fascinating as well. I didn't even really get to ask you too many questions. So sometime we'll reconnect for sure. Thank you for having me on the show.